Okay? Not just to watch sports for the next 3 weeks. It is to glorify His name. Because when the day comes and He snatches it, you can't glorify His name here on earth to lost people anymore. Okay, think about that. I asked the guy, what'd you do? He said, I turned and looked at Charles. I said, Charles, do you understand? You just took the name of thy Lord God in vain. He told me Charles Barkley dropped his head and said, you know what? I know better. I shouldn't be doing that. I know so much better than that. See, Charles grew up in church. He knows better than that, okay? But he's choosing not to. The guy got to witness to him right there. See, he just used something around him, talked. What's it say? And by the time it gets to Hare Krishna, they're already hooked. Their foot's tapping. They're already singing along hallelujah to kind of lull them to a false sense of security. And then suddenly it turns into Hare Krishna. And they will all be singing that before they know what's happened. And they think, hey, I thought I wasn't supposed to like Hare Krishna. Watch what George Harrison said, Rolling Stone magazine. The main thing is to get the kids. Parents, you reading parents? Nail you when you're young and brainwash you, and then they've got you for the rest of your life. Okay? That's what he said. He's gonna brainwash you by using what? Music to teach you what? What? Their teachings, their worldview. Everybody has a worldview. I will use the music, get it into your system, and pull the kids away from what you're teaching them. I mean, can you get any more honest? At least he told you the truth. Okay? How he's using music, Satan is to pull people away from people. Okay? Listen to me, folks. You better be very, very careful what's on your iPods. Okay? You better be extremely careful what's on there. Okay? When I work with young people all the time, they're like, hey, can I listen to this song? I just do it real simple. Okay? Now, music and lyrics are two different things. You need to understand that, first of all, okay? And you got to look at them differently, all right? But I said, just take the song, look at the lyrics and the music. If you can listen to it before the throne of God, Jesus Christ listening right there before the throne, I said, listen to it. If you can't, what do you need to do with it? Ditch it and get rid of it. Delete it. Take the whole iPod and drop it into a trash can. Okay, one, you're going to hurt your ears. What you don't understand is most people lose 30 to 40% of their hearing by the end of their life. They're saying most young people, they're losing 25% by the time you're 25. Okay, because you have things stuffed in your ears. Okay, so one, I don't have an iPod because I don't want to hurt my hearing as I'm getting older, okay? I don't want that to happen. Two, and when I do, I'm always trying to chat with people. And sometimes if you got those earbuds in there, I can't get into conversation, but I will. I sat down next to the guy in the airport the other day. He had his earbuds in and stuff. I just went... He started staring at him. He went, I said, hey, man, you look interesting. Can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, when you die, what do you think happens when you die, man? He pulled the other one out. We had a 30-minute conversation. He was a disc jockey at a club in Philadelphia. But I just wanted to chat with the guy and do that, okay? But you know what? We need to, parents, you need to watch what is on the iPods of your kids. He's trying to tell you, trying to get your kids. But let's flip that for just a second. What if our kids could look at our record collection? What if our kids could look at our DVD collection? Okay? When God convicted me on music, there were well over 100 CDs that had to get out of my collection quickly. Okay, quickly. I had a teenage boy at a school I spoke at. He came up to me. He was a senior in high school. Came up in front of the entire school, Christian school, and said, yesterday, I'm going to tell you folks something. He said, I've been playing a game with you. I've come to this school K through 12 and played a game. I was faking this Christianity. Last night, I repented of my sins. I am finally right with Jesus Christ. God finally got my attention. And I went into my music collection, and I found 80 different CDs that were bogus and terrible, okay? And they found a trash can last night. And he was the big golf star at this school. And he looked at the whole crowd. He said, and hold me accountable to my decision to follow Jesus Christ. Okay? At the end of the day, I saw the boy again. And he told me at the end of the day, he said, Mark, I need to tell you something. I said, I am stunned at the response of my fellow classmates. I said, why? He said, my classmates, they only had one question the entire day. How could you, what? Throw all those CDs away. Not one student asked him anything about his salvation. Or excited about. He was stunned, but he learned a great lesson about not worrying about what people think about you. You live on a narrow road. If you're worrying about pats on the back, get off the narrow road and get on the wide road. You may not get a pat on the back on the narrow road, okay? But you know who's at the end of the narrow road. And you must decide he is worth the journey no matter how this gets, okay? Careful. Let God convict you on what we're watching and spending our money on. I'd rather not own one DVD. Okay, and take all the money and give it away to God's cause and sit there and waste 2 hours watching a movie when I could spend 2 hours sharing my faith or reading my Bible. Careful. I tell people the book One Heartbeat Away, at the end of the book, the whole last chapter is on time. And I always tell people, time is one thing. If you give it away, you can't get it back. God knows the day you're born. He knows the day you die. It's a finite set of time. And once you give away time, you can't get it back at the end. You must use it very wise as you walk through here, okay? But wait, there's the drum kit. That's for who? Ringo Starr. Middle microphone, that's for who? Paul McCartney. So the assumption, all four Beatles, when they die, they go to heaven. Why would you assume that? Because the world's trying to tell you, as long as you're what? Good person, get heaven, you die. Be careful of deception. Peter Jennings, ABC News, died. And again, here's Peter Jennings getting to interview God. Okay, well now, wait a minute now. I read the book of Job, and when I read that book, it looks like to me God asked most of the questions, okay? But do you see the arrogance of man? He now gets to interview God. Okay. Anyone see a problem? See, that's how just we think like this. Okay. Peter Jennings at a staff meeting at ABC News. There were 30 people at a staff table. Peter Jennings looked across the staff table to an on-air personality, Dr. Tim, and said to Dr. Tim, asked him this question in front of 30 people. Dr. Tim, is Jesus Christ the only way to get to heaven? Okay. First question. Do you have to be ready for that question? Oh, people ask, I got on the plane flight the other day. People will ask it. You don't know when it's going to be thrown out, but you must be ready to give a defense at all times, okay? He said, Dr. Tim, is Jesus Christ the only way to get to heaven? Dr. Tim said, Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven for me. Right answer? Wrong answer. Totally fumbled the question, okay? Joel Osteen, Larry King Live last year, totally fumbled the question, okay? Billy Graham, Larry King Live in the last year, totally fumbled the question, okay? Billy Graham, Newsweek Magazine last year, totally fumbled the question, okay? Completely fumbled it, okay? I called Billy Graham's ministry, because I've spoken at the Cove before, okay? I called up there and I wanted to talk with somebody, so I got someone semi-high up, and I started talking with him. I said, I have a question for you, okay? And this is what I want to tell you. I said, Billy Graham right now is killing us on the streets. Okay? We are trying to tell people Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven, and he is saying different right now. Okay? I don't know if it's old age. That can happen. It can be he believes that. He said it more than once now. Okay? So he may get it. I don't know. Okay? But my father took Newsweek magazine and handed it to me when I came over to his house after it came out. Said, Mark, even Billy Graham believes just like I do, there's many different ways to get to heaven. Okay? Someone emailed me and said, his dad, the exact same thing with him, hand the magazine, said the exact same words to him, okay? I said, you need to keep Billy Graham, okay? If he's going to keep this tack, you need to keep him as far away from radio, print, and TV until he takes his last breath and dies, okay? And I say that because, one, I care about his soul, but I also know when he speaks, people listen, okay? That's why you have to be careful, okay? Be very careful, okay? Now, why does Larry King even ask the question? You know why Larry King asked the question? Because he already knows the answer. He's trying to see who's got enough guts to say so across that table in front of 1.5 million people. That's what he's trying to find out. Okay? Listen to me. You never, if you ever do radio, TV, I've done some of this stuff, print, anything, workplace, you never answer to be invited back. You answer truth. If they invite you back, great. If they don't, great. Either way, you spoke the truth. Right? You have to remember this at all times. When you get an opportunity to talk with somebody, you better go forward and speak truth because you may not get a second chance, okay? Larry King's been married, I think it's 7 times. Jewish gentleman. But he'll tell you the most influential person in his life was a guy by the name of Pete Maravich, okay? When Pete Maravich became a born-again Christian, it was literally a Saul to Paul, okay? Pete started witnessing to everybody. Pete was a wild man for a while. He actually sent Larry King a Bible. And on the inside cover, he wrote a full letter on the front inside cover of the Bible, full letter to Larry King on the inside about Jesus Christ and salvation, okay? Because he was reaching out to him before he died, okay? See, he knows the answer, all right? Who will give him the right answer? But any of you glad for second chances in life? Any of you glad that we serve a merciful God, that we just totally screw up at times, okay? Dr. Tim, on the on-air personality, remember we all thought Peter Jennings was coming back to TV. He never made it back. He died before he could come back. But the last 4 months of his life, Dr. Tim was his personal confidant the last 4 months of his life, okay? So you know he took time to share his faith. A guy came up to me and he said that he had heard that Peter Jennings' nurse led him to Jesus Christ the day before he died, okay? Don't know the truth of it, but hopefully we're going to see this man in heaven, okay? But what about the other 28 people at the table? What about the 1.4 million people watching that night that don't get to hear it again, okay? You got to take it when you have it and go for that. Pope John Paul II died a couple years ago. Angel going to heaven. Are you sure you're ready? This one is really great. Really? If you read his will, it's on the internet. If you read his will, he wrote in his will, when I die, I commit my life into the hands of the Mother of God, is what he wrote in his will. He's saying he commits his life in the hands of who? Mary. Okay, careful of deception in the end of days. If you read the official catechism of the Catholic Church from 1994, okay, it says in there, Mary is sinless in the official teachings of the Catholic Church. Okay, is that a true statement? Hebrews 4:15 says only Jesus Christ was our high priest that had no sin. Be very careful of deception, because once a little untruth gets there, it can be a lot bigger, can it not? There's a movement in Catholicism called the co-redemptrix movement, the co-redeemer movement, that Mary can also redeem you of your sins. Okay, you have to understand what's going on. A friend of mine walked into a church into Quito, Ecuador. He walked into the Catholic cathedral. He walked up to the crucifix. When he went up to the crucifix, it was not Jesus Christ on the crucifix. It was who? Mary on the crucifix. Okay. I spoke in Alabama. A gentleman came up to me afterwards. He said, Mark, I just went to the Vatican in Rome. I walked outside the Vatican. There was a church of something, something Mary at the across the street. I walked into it. I walked up to the crucifix. He said, it was not Jesus on the crucifix. It was Mary on the crucifix. Okay. Folks, you got to understand. Okay. Be very careful of these Marian apparitions that are happening. Okay. They're going to be bigger. I think she's going to be a big player in the end of days here. Okay. And all you have to do is listen to the things she says. She's even called herself a co-redeemer. That's a dead giveaway. It's not of God. It's of who? It's an angel of light. Be careful of an angel of light. Okay, careful. And the reason you need to be careful is because not only Catholics believe in her, Protestants believe in her, and Muslims believe in her. Okay? And one of the biggest apparitions was in Cairo, Egypt for a 2-week period back in the 60s, early 70s. Okay? And I still have seen pictures of it and stuff like that. Okay? Be very careful, because they also believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, Muslims do. Okay, so I can see this being a player at the end. Just be careful of deception. How do you break through that? Real simple. Always go with your scriptures. Romans 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So whatever this law is, it can stop people's mouths, they become guilty before God. I want to find out what this law is so I can see how to use it when I share my faith. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay, so if y'all want to know what sin is, I use this law, I've got my answer. Real simple. Let's see what it is, okay? Here's your big clue. Now, this is in both the books, okay? So if you don't need to write it, watch what Romans 7 says. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Okay, here we go. If the law says thou shalt not covet, where do you find thou shalt not covet in the Bible? Okay, it's the Ten Commandments. Okay, and that's the 10th of the Ten Commandments. Now, in Judaism, you had up over 600 laws. I met a Jewish guy at the airport the other day. We had a good chat. And I think he told me there were 613 Jewish laws, okay? But this is at least referring to the Ten Commandments. Now, you can find the Ten Commandments twice listed in the first five books. Once in Exodus chapter 20 and once in Deuteronomy chapter 5. So you find it twice in the first five books of the Bible. Okay, now, I'm a real simple person. Always been simple. It's the easiest way to go through life. Okay, simple. Two times in the first five books, there must be a reason, okay? When I was a younger kid, when my mama, Mrs. Cale, told me something twice, okay? My mama did it for a very specific reason. Why does mama do that? Why? Okay, this is important. Don't you forget what I just said. Okay, the other reason is because when mama would tell me something once, I would tell her, oh, mom, I didn't hear you before. Now, that's called a what? That was a lie. I would lie to my mother. See, my mom knew, but she told me twice. She knew I could never say that. Okay, but it was so important. She made sure that this son could never say that. Okay, if God put something twice in the first five books, I think there might be a reason why. Okay, let's find out why. James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And this is such a huge part here, because if you've broken one of the Ten Commandments, just like you broke what? All of them. See, here's the difference. What most people actually think is they think God is going to grade on a curve. Okay, I wrote this in One Heartbeat Away, because I had a guy just tell me this on a plane the other day. They think that God's going to line up 6 billion people. Okay, put Adolf Hitler and Saddam Hussein and Idi Amin down there, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa down there, and I'm going to wind up right about here. Okay, and we think God's going to go, okay, I'm going to cut off right here. Okay, and you people forward will get heaven, and you people back will get hell. Well, now let's ask a question: if God cut it off here, and you were the next in line. Okay, you'd be like, what? I mean, what? One more I love you to mom? I mean, hug my brother? What did I do? We love when teachers grade on the curve and grade up. We think God's going to grade up. And the reason we think that is because we don't understand holiness. And if we ever understood a holy, pure, righteous God, you would understand one sin is disgusting and as nasty as 1,000 of them. Okay? And we got to get back to talking about a holy God. One thing I do with people, I had a guy the other day on a plane flight, and he was just wanted to be good enough and all that. And he actually told me God's going to grade on a curve. I said, okay, let's say the shirt you have on is a perfectly white shirt. I said, okay, and I took this pen and I tapped you 30 times on that white shirt. Is that a pure white shirt anymore? He said, no way. If I said, if I just tapped you once, is that a pure white shirt on? He said, absolutely not. I said, not at all. I said, because even one dot makes it impure. I said, you know what? Even to a holy God, one sin is impure to God. Absolutely impure to God. Okay? See, we got to get a different mindset of our sin and a different mindset of God. If I can put those two together, it's not a simple gap where I can reach up to. It's this huge gap, this gigantic gap that only a cross can fit in right there. Okay, I was in a mall one day and this guy was walking out. I was trying to explain to him some things about sin and I just wasn't doing very well. And all of a sudden someone walked out of a store and the alarm buzzer went off. Okay? I said, okay. I looked at him. I said, here's a word picture for you. He said, all right. I said, if you bought those pants at a store that left a tag on it, you came walking out, what would happen? He said, the alarm would go off. I said, okay, gates of heaven the exact same way. When you're walking into heaven, there's two sensors on it, okay? When you go walking into heaven, only one thing would set the alarm off. It'd be all your what? Sins. Okay, but if you were cleansed of all your sins, could you walk through that gate when you walk out of here? Oh, the kid said yes. Because you've ever heard the alarm go off, even if you didn't steal nothing, you know how you get that guilty feeling real quick? Because it's like, what? I didn't do it. I swear I didn't do it. And it does it. But wait a minute. Even one stolen item or 100 stolen items would set the alarm off. Even one sin would set the alarm off going in. You don't want to hear that buzz, okay? I must be cleansed of it all, okay? That's why we got to talk about holiness, okay? Now here's your big clue. Watch how this all comes together and I'll explain it to you. Wherefore the law, Galatians 3, what's the law? At least the Ten Commandments was our schoolmaster. Your Bible might say pedagogue, might say teacher, to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Okay, here we go. The world wants to be justified by what? Works, exactly. But if I use the law correctly, it will bring, the word means carry unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Okay, here we go. If I use the law correctly, we will not be justified by works. It will carry me to Christ and I can justify by faith and not by works, all right? Romans 2, which show the work of the law written in their hearts and their conscience, also bearing witness, their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. First of all, there's no secrets. Second of all, that the law is written on everyone's heart and conscience, no matter who you talk to, a Muslim, an atheist, a Buddhist, whomever, okay? The law is there. We just use the law to our advantage to walk unto the cross, okay? Charles Spurgeon said, do you know who Spurgeon is, by the way, if I mention Spurgeon? Okay, Spurgeon is just, he's out of control, okay? Wow, this guy just rips my heart out, okay? But one thing he said that I'll never forget was, Spurgeon said, real simple, you're either a missionary or you're an imposter. Ooh, that's heavy to me. You're either a missionary or you're an imposter. Listen to me, I don't care how much money you give to world missions, okay, and support those missionaries. You do not get off the hook if you do not stand up for Jesus Christ with your lips. Don't think you can pay your way off of Judgment Day. Thank you for supporting all the missionary work that goes around the world, but you need to be a mission in your neighborhood. Is that right? Right? I know one lady, her goal is her whole street. That's it. That's her goal. Her whole street. She prays for every single house on the street. She found out the birthdays of everyone on the street. She bakes cakes, cookies, and pies for everybody's birthday, verbally witnesses to everybody, gives them stuff to read. Two entire households have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, plugged into her church, and she's now reaching all the rest of them. Okay? She doesn't have to go to Zimbabwe. She just goes home. Okay? And she's going to reach the people around her. And I wonder why you'd even want to take a trip to another country if you won't even talk to the people in this country. I just spoke in Indiana, youth group, 300 kids. They took a mission trip to Costa Rica. I asked the kids, I said, okay, what was the biggest stumbling block you had down there? And the answer is always what? Language. It's not culture. You can work through culture. Most people are intrigued about America. They like Americans. But it's always language, okay? I said, so that's the biggest. I said, what's the biggest advantage that you've had since you've been back here sharing your faith? And they go, language. I said, okay, you've been home for 9 months. If you've had a one-on-one talk with a lost person here in America, who's been back for 9 months, raise your hand up out of the 300 kids. How many hands went up out of 300? Zero. So why can God move big in Costa Rica and not move big in Indianapolis? This was actually in northern Indiana, by the way. Okay, why is that? See, that's not the God I serve. God I serve is big everywhere. The whole universe is His. Okay. Matter of fact, every person you want to chat with is stamped made in the image of God. They just don't know it half the time. Every piece of land you walk on is made. God made that piece of land. I don't have to fear going down to a Colts game. I don't have to fear going to South Beach. Okay, that's God's land. Okay, He owns this whole shooting match. Okay, I need to serve that God with everything that I've got. Okay, and not fear that. Watch what Spurgeon said. I do not believe any man can preach the gospel who does not preach the law. The law is the needle, and you cannot draw the silken thread of the gospel through a man's heart unless you first send the needle of the law to make way for it. See, he always said, use the law first to get to where you want to go. Another quote he had was, he said, you ever seen a glass where there's mud in it and it all settles to the bottom? But if you stick your finger in there and you stir it up real quick, what happens to the mud? Just rises right up. Okay, he's the same way. He said, the law is like a finger. You stick it in people's hearts. And when you begin to stir it, all that muck becomes to come up. Okay, all that dirtiness comes up. Okay, and when you're dirty, what do you want? What will cleanse me? Okay, you ever played mud football before? Okay, play mud football retreats and stuff. Okay, but when you're done, you want one of two things, a lake or a shower. Okay, you want one of two because you got all that funk on you. Okay, you want it off of you. Okay, you once you know you're dirty, you want the cleansing. All right. Wesley said, preach 90% law and 10% grace. Today, we normally preach 90% grace, 10% law. Really, if you even go back just 100 years, you don't find preachers preach like we do today. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Explain that to Peter when he's upside down on a cross. Explain that to Paul, okay, when he's dying for his faith. Explain that to the 1,000 people being killed for Jesus Christ. Explain that to the people that are having their fingernails yanked out for Jesus Christ, bamboo shoots stuck underneath their fingernails because they won't renounce Jesus Christ. Explain that to them. Okay? No. If they understand how bad you are, you understand the grace that you've got. You see, those who have been forgiven much, what? Love much. If you've been forgiven little, you love little. See, if you have little sin, you have a little Savior. If you have big sin, you got a gigantic Savior on this great big cross just for you. See, I want to know how bad I am, not how good I am. See the difference there? When people try to teach your kids all about self-esteem. You don't need self-esteem. You need God esteem. You need reality, okay? This self, there's nothing good in this self, okay? This is nasty, sinful, selfish flesh that wants to do every sin on the planet Earth, okay? That is my flesh. My heart is for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, why do I do the things I know I should not do and the things I should do? Why don't I do those? There's a wrestling match going on. Okay, between that flesh and that spirit, who's going to win this battle, okay? And that's what you do here. So watch what happens. When you're witnessing, real simple, just talk about sin with people. Talk about repentance. Talk about the cross. You just walk them right to it. Sin, repentance, cross, okay? I was on a plane flight a year ago. I was going to Colorado. I was on a late flight, and there's nobody next to me on the flight. So I struck up a conversation with the stewardess, the flight attendant. So we're talking. All of a sudden, she looked at me during the conversation and said, she just waved her hand to all these people later on. So I said, Mark, don't you think all these people on this flight are good enough to go to heaven? I said, well, I said, you know, there's actually a standard on being good. It's called the Ten Commandments. Let's see how you do. She said, okay. I said, you ever told a lie before? She said, yeah. I said, what does that make you? She said, human. I said, okay, that's a good point. But if you murder, you're a murderer. If you rape, you're a rapist. If you tell a lie, you'd be a what? A liar. Let them say liar. She said, liar. I said, you ever stole something before? She said, yeah. I said, what does that make you? She said, a thief. I said, you ever lusted in your heart before? She said, yeah. I said, Jesus said that's the same as committing adultery because he's checking inside as well as outside, okay, according to the Beatitudes. You ever take the Lord's name in vain? She said, yeah. I said, that's blasphemy. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, if you took the Lord's name in vain, what was the penalty? Death by stoning, okay? God takes it pretty serious whether you and I want to or not, okay? I said, you ever been angry with somebody? She said, yes, I have. I said, well, I said, that's the same as committing murder, Jesus said. I was just on death row in Birmingham a couple weeks ago getting to speak to prisoners on death row. And every murderer I've met, anger first, shot their wife over something. Anger first, knifed a buddy over a dice game. Insides always lead to outsides. Okay, it's so simple, okay? And so I told the lady, I said, you just told me by God's standards, I didn't tell her nothing, you'd be a liar, a thief, an adulterer, a blasphemer, and a murderer. I said, would you be guilty or not guilty on judgment day? What'd she say? Guilty. I said, would that be heaven or would that be hell? What'd she say? She said, hell. I said, does that bother that you'd be going to hell? She said, yes, it does. She said, oh, great. I'm like, And I was like, what? She said, I thought I was going to heaven until I met you. Okay. It was pretty funny. But isn't it great she met me before she thought she was going to heaven? So we explained to her repentance in Jesus Christ. So she knew why. Okay. So that's what the law does. Use that law out there. Okay. See, when someone is in before a court of law, they don't want justice. They want what? Mercy. Okay. See, that's what I want. But see, I know how bad I am. That's the mercy I want. So another way a friend of mine does it, he just walks up and he said, you ever taken the good person test before? And everybody says no. And he just said, well, you ever told a lie? So he just starts right with the law. I was in a hotel late last year and talking with a lady behind the counter. Then I said, hey, by the way, I said, you ever taken the good person test before? She said, no, but I'll probably fail. And she did. And then she did. But then we just share with repentance and cross. Okay, so you just use, let the law do its work. Does that make sense? Okay, if you ever get stuck in a conversation, just go to the law. Let the law do its work on the heart so they see their sin and then want a savior. I was witnessing to five college kids from the College of Charleston. I was at a concert in Atlanta. We were going down these big escalators back to the MARTA trains. I start witnessing these college kids, and all of a sudden they tell me they're liars and thieves and murder by anger and adulterous by lust. I said, guilty or not guilty, heaven or hell, hell. We get to the bottom, we're right at the bottom, and a kid's got a bike with him. This college had a bike. As soon as we get off the escalator, he puts the bike in front of me and just stops it right in front of me so I couldn't move. He said, don't you go anywhere. He said, you tell me right now. He said, what does it take to get rid of that sin? What must I do? Do I have to go to church? You stop right now and tell me what it takes. See, the law carries you right to, please, what's the answer? You see how the law works? See, it's the cross. It walks you right to the cross. And that's what the boy wants. And what's the answer? Is it going to church? What must I do to be washed clean of that? That's why I use the law and do that. That's what I did with Tiger Woods. The whole story is in One Heartbeat Away. But when we're standing there talking, I said, Tiger, when you die, what do you think's on the other side? What do you think's out there when you die? He said, I don't know. I said, hey, did you hear what happened to Charles Barkley's little brother? He said, no. So I told him the story of Barkley's brother that saw the lake of fire. When I told that to Tiger, okay, what happened to his eyes when I told him that story? He's got big oval eyes anyways. What happened to his eyes? They went whoop. They like doubled, okay? I said, Tiger, here's how to tell where you go. I said, you heard of the Ten Commandments? He said, yeah. I said, you ever told a lie before? He said, yeah. I said, what does that make you? And he just blurted out. He said, a liar. I said, a liar. I said, Tiger, have you ever stolen anything before? He said, yeah. Now, I was about to say, what does that make you? All right. But before I did that, when you're sharing your faith, remember what I said today earlier, it's not a presentation, it's a conversation. Okay. Always keep eye contact with people because things can be going on that aren't just the lips happening. Is that right? Always looking for nonverbal stuff happening. Okay. You can see people. So when I witness, I never wear sunglasses. Okay. Because they need to see my eyes. So you can see their eyes and know what's happening half the time, right? They need to see yours too. Okay. So I wear hats when I'm out. So I can keep the sun on my eyes and stuff. I was looking at Tiger's face as I asked him the question, you ever stole something before? I am not lying. His face like contorted. It moved. He took a half step back. He was trying to get out of the conversation because the law is written on your what? Heart. I'm in his business in two questions, okay? And that's what the law does, all right? Well, I saw that happening, so I just took a different tack. I said, Tiger, you know what? That makes all of us a thief because we're all in the same boat, is that right? 6 billion of us, okay? So he put his foot back like that. I said, you ever lusted in your heart before? He said, yeah. I said, Jesus said the same as committing adultery. He checks inside as well as outside. I said, Tiger, have you ever been angry with someone before? He said, yes, I have. I said, God says that's the same as murder. Okay. I said, Tiger, you just told me by God's standards. See, it's not my standard, it's God's standard. You'd be a liar, a thief, an adulterer, and a murderer. I said, would you be guilty or not guilty on Judgment Day? What did he say? Tiger Woods stood right there and said guilty. I said, would that mean heaven or would that mean hell? He said, probably hell. Okay. Now, just as we get to the good stuff, repentance and the cross, this is what happened. A guy came up and said, hey, Tiger, would you do me a favor? Would you sign this little piece? Because everybody wanted his autograph. Barkley was done, so we were leaving. It was a commercial shoot for Nike. That's what we were at. And but Tiger had to go do some more filming. And he said, would you sign this? And so he had us out. He begins to go, okay, we're done. I was like, oh, no, I'm just getting to the good stuff, right? I was like, oh, no. So I hustled over there. Tiger, I just read, hey, where I stopped, that's repentance in Jesus Christ. Shook his hand. I said, really enjoyed you. Got a nice chance to meet you. And bingo, gone. We're done, okay? Now, I called some people in Atlanta, told them what happened, okay? The next week, three different people who heard the story the next week got to follow up with him the very next week. Okay. One was a professional athlete, actually took him out to dinner. Him and his wife took Tiger and his girlfriend at the time and literally finished the entire conversation where I got stuck at. Some plant, some water, God gives the increase. Okay, just a couple months ago, Tiger walked up to, what's the big hitter guy? Is it Bubba, what's it, Watson? Is that his name? The big hitter, Bubba Watson, the big golf hitter. He walked up to him on a driving range the other day. A couple months ago, I just heard the story from somebody and asked him, "Hey, Bubba, are you a Christian?" And he stood there, he said, "Yeah." He said, "I am. I'm a Christian." Tiger stood there, just stood there. He said, "Okay." And turned and walked away. That's not what he asked. That's what it said he asked. What was he really asking? What was he really asking? Tell me about it. Why? That's what he was asking. What he's saying is, my dad died. My dad died. Okay? I don't know what's out there when it happens. And I want to know, are you a Christian? Why did you choose that? Because Tiger said in an interview, he said, my dad grew up Christian, my mom grew up Buddhist, so I just practiced both of them. Problem? Big problem. You can't practice both of them. He actually said that in a question and answer time in a media event very recently. Okay? Bubba was just so disappointed himself. I found this out from another guy, okay? But that's why we can pray for another shot at somebody, okay? And do that. But you must be ready to give that defense. That's why the law works, okay? So use that law when you talk with people and do that, okay? Make sure when you're sharing your faith, you talk about Jesus. It is so important to talk about Jesus Christ, okay? Be careful just to talk about God. God is a very generic term. It means a million different things to a million different people when you're out witnessing, okay? But the word Jesus is very specific. Is that correct? Very specific. Okay, but you must make sure you talk the biblical Jesus. Okay, very important. You study your scriptures and get in the Word and know the biblical Jesus. Because all of a sudden when a false Jesus is being taught, you can spot it in a second. Okay, as the current thing is, there's many different ways to get to heaven. Okay. Anyone see Gerald Ford's funeral that happened? Gerald Ford's funeral. Episcopal priest gets up there, starts reading. He's reading John 14, reads verse by verse, gets to John 14, 6. And it says, "And Jesus said unto them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Stopped and went on with his talk. Uh-oh. Excuse me. Did you forget something? No man cometh to the Father except by me. See, that's the exclusivity clause, that he's the only one, okay? But it shouldn't shock us, considering the woman bishop of the Episcopal Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. has publicly come out and said she believes there's multiple ways to get to heaven. Okay? See, that's where we're getting all this deception. That's why you must touch biblical Jesus with people, okay? And also, track books. Make sure you use tracks when you share your faith, okay? I just can't tell you the effectiveness of tracks, people. And all a track is something that, has something on it, but it has a gospel presentation of some sort, verses or whatever, but something about God, Jesus, that's going to make them think. It doesn't mean it's a salvation thing, but just something that's a track that's going to make you think. Tracks were huge back in the day, and they were very different. They were booklets. They were 10-page booklets, okay? They weren't just a little piece of paper. That's how, but they were much readers back then. We become much more TV watchers, okay, seers, and they just read all the time back in the day, okay? So tracks really work effectively. When we're out witnessing, when we finish with people, some, hey, you get a gift for helping us out. Don't people love gifts? Oh, they love gifts, okay? So we give them a gift for helping us out. You can put things on your church on the back or whatever. If you're just handing tracks out, like if I'm walking through an area or at a Colts game or whatever, and people just walking in, hey, did you get one of these? It's a real good line. Hey, did you get one of these? See, I feel like they're missing out on something. Did you get one of these? Well, no, I didn't. And they take it out of your hand and go. And a friend taught me that one. It's too easy. If I say, would you like one of these? It's too easy to say what? No. Okay. So don't even leave it out. Did you get one of these? Okay. So very easy way to do that, hand tracks out. There's a chapter in the book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. There's a chapter in here called Did You Get One of These? And it's all about tracks, where to get them, how to use them, some good ones we like and stuff like that. And so we just do tracks at all types of events. We go to Thrashers games, Hawks games, just different things to hand tracks, talk with people, concerts and stuff like that. But tracks are really effective. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, got saved off a track booklet. God saved. Next thing you know, let's take China for Jesus Christ, okay? So you can't underestimate the power of the Word of God on a piece of paper. That's what the Bible is, okay? I read a story about a man. He was going, he was walking to the cliffs of, it was Oregon or Washington. He was walking and he was going to commit suicide. He got up to the cliff and he stood there and looked. As he looked over the cliff, he looked and there was a piece of paper sitting down there, okay? He sat down. You've seen those chick tracks, those comic book tracks, okay? He sat down there, began to read it, okay? stood up, repented of his sins, got saved by Jesus Christ, literally did a U-turn. Isn't that a great picture? Just U-turned away from there, walked back. He's now working at a church, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Because tracks do work, okay? On the table back there, I have some tracks for you on the table right there, and those are free for you. Please enjoy those and take those. But one is a smart card. It's a little tiny one. And I love, it's a really a very well-written track. But what I do with the smart cards, I take these all the time. I go into, like grocery stores. So I go over the beer section. I slide them in the 12 packs of beer like that. I slide them into the cases of beer like that. I go over to the Coca-Cola section. They're really nice. I put little slits on their 12 packs. So I slide them in the 12 packs of Coke like that. I figure if Cracker Jacks can give you a surprise, why can't I? And I just go ahead and give you a surprise. And this is a true story. I was at a bank. I came out of a bank one day and there was these three guys in a van. So I walked to them. Hey, did you get one of these? Hey, did you get one? Went to the third guy. Hey, did you get one of these? He said, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. I'm like, what? He said, I've seen one of those. I'm like, you've seen one? I mean, I literally just got into the bank. I said, how'd you see one? He said, man, I bought an 18-pack of Ice House beer. That thing was slid. tracks do work, okay? A friend of mine came to Atlanta on a business trip. He walked into the business establishment, and there was a lady sitting at the receptionist desk, and there was a one of those chick tracks, those comic book tracks, was sitting on the corner of her desk. He walked in and said, hey, how you doing? I'm here to meet somebody. He said, excuse me, what is that? She said, it's a booklet about Jesus. He said, okay. He said, where'd you get it? She said, I bought a 12-pack of beer 1 week ago. That thing was slid right down inside her. She said, I took it out of there, and I've been thinking about it every single day since then. See, you don't know. A farmer knows the more seed you throw out, the more that's going to grow. Okay? See, if we'd ever get the same mindset, okay, there's nothing to me better than a one-on-one conversation, but I can't one-on-one talk with everybody, okay? So I can do different things to plant seeds with people, okay? And then he got to follow up with that. A year ago Christmas, I did a big youth event in New York. I had to fly to Panama City to do another one. Course out of Buffalo, plane issues, all this other stuff, okay? Well, I finally get to Panama City Beach late night. And I get there and I get down to the luggage carousel thing, and there was, so I'm waiting for this, they had a crazy little luggage thing in this airport. But the thing is just stuck, it won't move. And so I'm standing there, I'm like, Father, could you please get this thing to move? I said, I gotta get my luggage and get to my rental car so I can get to my hotel and get to my bed, because tomorrow morning I've gotta give my talk to these kids. Can you get this thing to move? Well, what was the problem with that entire, presentation? And it was mine, which is the problem with my life. And, so the thing wouldn't move. I said, okay, Father, I get it. Okay, there's someone in this place you want me to hand a track to, talk to. Thank you, Father, very much. Thank you. And so I saw this guy walk over by himself. I said, hey, how you doing? Good. Did you get one of these? Hey, man, that's for you, man. Hey, have a good day. All right, that's for you. And so I walked over here and started staring at my luggage carousel thing to move again. And it just wouldn't move. So I'm standing there. I'm just mad. It's been a long day. And all of a sudden I get a tap on my shoulder. And it was that guy handing the track to you. He said, hey, man. He said, I know you. I said, dude, you don't know me, man. I'm waiting for my luggage, okay, to get to my rental car, okay? You don't know me. He said, no, I know you. I said, how do you know me? He said, Bon Jovi concert, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in Panama City Beach, Florida, okay? 4 to 5 years earlier, we were witnessing at a Bon Jovi concert, handing tracks, talking to me. He said, matter of fact, I know the exact thing you gave me. It was called a smart card. He said, yes, it was. He said, matter of fact, we actually had a conversation. So we sat down, began to talk. We had this 20-minute conversation, okay? And of all the people that you can run into, and God has this set up, I'm worried about my bag, right? We talk fast, and I finally get my bag, get my rental car. I walk outside. As I walk outside, there's a teenage boy there with a wrestling something shirt. And I saw him on the inside of the airport, and he was back talking his mother, okay? And I don't like people back talking their moms, okay? And I usually will say something right there. I just go ahead and butt in and worry about the consequences later, okay? I'm a little crazy, but I don't know. And it's kind of fun. And so I walk outside. I said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, good. I said, are you a wrestler? He said, yeah. I said, what weight class? And he started talking. We started talking wrestling and stuff, because wrestlers are very, very, very hard workers and stuff. So we started talking sports. All of a sudden, his mom walked out. And I said, excuse me. I said, who is this lady? He said, that's my mother. I said, okay. I said, if I'm not mistaken, when I was in that airport in there, it looked like to me you were back talking and sassing your mother just a little bit. She said, she was wrong. Okay. Yeah, she was wrong. Okay. 15-year-old boy. I said, excuse me. I said, does she cook for you? He said, yeah. I said, does she clean up and wash those clothes after you wrestle? He said, yeah. I said, excuse me. He said, well, I said, she's not wrong. okay? If she does all that, she's not wrong. Okay, that's your mother, okay? So we start talking. All of a sudden, the mother looks at me and says, excuse me, I have a question for you. I said, okay. She said, I'm a Jewish lady, okay? Does a Jewish person like me have to repent of my sins and come to Jesus Christ for salvation? Or can I just stay a Jewish person and be right with God when I die? Do I need to repent of my sins and come to Jesus? Or can I just stay a good Jew and die and be right with God, okay? I'm trying to get to my hotel and God has all this in the airport, okay? This lady literally watches Christian TV, reads Christian books, but she didn't know if she needed to do it. We had the most fascinating talker there, okay? Because just if you're available to God, tracks work and do that, okay? Usually I do a question answer time. I'm out of time, so I'm not going to be able to do that for you, okay? I'm going to answer three quick questions for you, though. The biggest question you get witnessing is how do you prove the Bible's true, okay? Both books will show you how to prove it's true. So once you prove it true in a conversation, gave you a five-step way to do it and one thing you can't do in heaven, six-step way to do it in one heartbeat away. Because once you prove the Bible's true, then you can use it as a proof text, all right? If you just start with scripture verses, a lot of lost people go what? How do you know the Bible's true? I don't believe the Bible. That's circular reasoning to them, okay? Like in the book One Heartbeat Away, I never touch a scripture verse until I prove the Bible true. Once I prove it true about page 70 or 80, it's scripture until the end. Okay, then the Word of God's going to speak to you, okay? So I show you a very simple way to do that. Other question is, how do you witness to, like, how many of you have family or friends, immediate family, that don't know the Lord, okay? Yeah, we always get this all the time when I do question time. A couple things to do. One, verbally witness to him. My dad, I walked him straight through the Ten Commandments one time at the house, and my father looked at me after I walked him through the third. He said, Mark, what about all my good works, though? My dad's the nicest guy in the neighborhood. He will do anything for anybody at any time, okay? But my dad thinks, as a Catholic gentleman, the works get him through the door. The works don't get you through the door. They can be rewarded, but they can't cleanse or cover your sins, we talked about this morning, okay? It can't do that. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that, okay? So verbally witness, okay? Give them stuff, books. My dad's read my books. Pray somebody else into their life so they just don't hear it from you. See, it's hard witnessing. To my dad, I will always be his kid. It's never going to change, okay? So pray someone else in their life. Serve them. Serve them. Okay, my older brother lost all get up, but he's divorced. Every time he flies into Atlanta, I volunteer to pick him and his daughter up. I drive them from the airport. I drive them around town. I drive them back at the end. I serve them. Okay, I hate every minute of it. Okay, I do. I'm not lying. I do. I would rather be served any day of the week. Okay, if I could have been a king in Egypt, I would have had a harem of women. I would have eaten grapes and died and gone to hell. Okay, I know me. I know myself to a T, okay? But we need to serve those around us, right? My two brothers told my brother-in-law two Thanksgiving ago, said, you know, when Mark first got this Jesus thing, we just thought it was going to be a fad in his life. Mark is very sincere about what he believes. Okay, think about that, okay? And so I serve and do that. The other thing to do with family is use letters, okay? I write letters all the time. Not an email, not a text message, okay? Write a handwritten letter to somebody, all right? We don't get those anymore, all right? We get bills in the mail. Write a handwritten letter to somebody. Half the New Testament is letters written to other people, okay? Wrote my dad a letter one time. Dad, I'm so glad you're my father. And I listed some things my dad did for me when I was a kid and stuff like that. We don't have a super great relationship, but I just want to let him know I love him, okay? Next paragraph. Dad, you know, because of my belief in God and Jesus Christ, when I die, I cannot enjoy heaven half as much as I plan to unless what? You're there with me, okay? That letter was so emotional to my father. My dad can even tell me how much it meant to him. Okay, my mom had to tell me how much it meant to my father because he locks all his emotions up for certain reasons and stuff. Okay, but I use letters all the time. Charles Barkley, I write him a letter once a year, either his birthday or Christmas. Last letter I wrote to him, I said, Charles, game's up. You've been playing this game long enough. Okay, one day your card's going to be punched. Okay, and you can't play this game of just trying to live in this world and think you're going to be right with Jesus Christ. It's time to get serious about this. Please let me know what I can do for you. Okay, I wrote a much more direct letter this last time at Christmas when I sent it to him, okay? I'm not concerned what he thinks about me, okay? I have to be concerned he knows the truth, okay? Because when he's at his funeral, I'm at his funeral one day, I want to be able to say he got born again and saved and he was with the Lord, and I can challenge the people there to do that, okay? So that, then the other thing is, a lot of times I get questioned on Islam. Remember, Islam, they believe that God will, Allah will weigh out the good and bad deeds. It's a works-oriented faith, okay? And so one thing you do is use the law with them so they can see their sin, okay, that their works can't cover it. It's like Pastor talked about this morning, okay? You need it washed clean. So the law works very good with Muslims. The other thing is I get people, how do you talk to Jewish people? And I read a thing from a guy. He was a Messianic Jew, what they'll also call a Jew for Jesus, or a completed Jew is what some will call that, okay? And what he did, some guy just said, all he said to him was four things. Read these four scriptures and tell me who you're talking about. Okay, well, if you do that to a Jew, where should you use the scriptures from? Yeah, use it what they believe. So what the guy did was, he said, read Isaiah 53. He read Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. He finished the chapter and he said to himself, that's talking about who? Jesus. He said, read Psalm 22. So he read Psalm 22. And when he got to about the nailed on the cross, the suffering and the piercing of his hands and feet, he said, oh my gosh, that has to be who? Jesus, okay? He had him read Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, as Pastor talked about this morning, okay? There is an old covenant, but one day there'll be a what? New covenant. It actually says it in the Jewish scriptures also. He had no clue as a Jew, okay? But he was stunned by this, okay? Then the guy said to him, he said, read Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, okay? So if you have your Bible, go to Daniel 9, and go to Daniel 9, Old Testament, right in the middle is Psalms. Go to your right. Then you hit the big books. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and I think it's the next one. Is that right? Yeah, the next one's Daniel. Go to Daniel 9 and go to 24. All right? Now, if you want to learn stuff about the end times, Matthew 24, 25, Luke 21, Revelations, and the book of what? Daniel. Daniel's loaded. This is one of the neatest small books in the Bible. Go to Daniel 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision, prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. 70 weeks, when you study the Hebrew underneath it, it can mean weeks of years. So this is where you get this 490-year period, 483 years ahead of the time of Jerusalem when it was to be rebuilt. The wall is when Jesus actually rode in on the donkey into Jerusalem. Okay, so this is where you get that extra seventh year. When you hear people talk about the tribulation, this is where they're grabbing that from, okay? Part of it is from here, okay? But watch where it goes, 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in the troublous times. Now watch what it says in 26. And after 62 weeks... 60. So 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Messiah's cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, okay? And the city shall be destroyed. If the word city is ever mentioned in Judaism, what city is it always talking about? Okay, we heard from Pastor today. What Pastor? We know exactly when the city was destroyed. What year was it? 70 AD. So 70 AD, the city was run over by Titus. Well, wait a minute. What did it say just before that? It said that the Messiah will be what? Cut off, and then the city will be destroyed. So if the city was destroyed in 70 AD, that means Messiah had to come when? Before 70 AD. And who are we talking about? Jesus Christ. And that was the one that got that Jew to understand this was completely talking about Jesus Christ. Then the other one, go to Proverbs 30. And this is the other one that hit me that I use with people. And this is all in the book, One Heartbeat Away. My editor was a Messianic Jew. She put all this little neat stuff in there that just takes the Judaism to understand the real cross of Jesus Christ. And go to verse 4 and 30 verse 4. And this is fascinating. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who can gather the wind in his fist? Who is that? That's God. Who hath bound the waters in his garment? Who is that? God. Who hath established all the ends of the earth? Who is that? God. What is his name? And what is his son's name? It says it right there in Proverbs. God has a son. And see, and we know his name, and his name is what? Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm going to close it for you right here, okay? Did you learn some good stuff? Okay, practical stuff, okay? I got one more thing. I got something to do for you, okay? And practical stuff, I hope it's been very challenging. Has it? Okay. The best preaching I like is when I walk out of a church on Sunday morning and my toes hurt, okay? I love it. Because what that said was the man I got up there cared enough about me not to let me live a mediocre Christian life. I love my teachers who challenge me. I love my coaches who would not let me be a mediocre basketball player. I don't want to go into any church where the pastor will let me be mediocre for Jesus Christ. Because lukewarm, God gave an opinion on it in Revelations. And it's a strong opinion. I have a talk on my website called Lukewarm No More. Okay? Fascinating talk on Revelations 3, okay? And how we can't accept that, okay? Spurgeon. If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for, period. Folks, you let nobody in your circle of life, nobody in your workplace, your neighborhood, nobody in your family, nobody walk off in eternity unwarned and unprayed for, period. That is our job to draw the line in the sand and say, enough's enough. Okay, this is the truth. It'll be totally your choice what you do with that, but it's my choice to make sure you have the right information to make the best decision you can what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. That's why Paul said, I preach Christ crucified. Why? There's nothing else. It comes all down to the cross. That's the whole event that all of history hinged on, was right there, okay? At my 5-year high school reunion, I was not saved. Before I went to my 10-year high school reunion, I got saved. God found me and got me saved. Went back to my 10-year high school reunion, witnessed the people at my high school reunion. I got addresses for 220 people in my class. I wrote a letter to every single person in my graduating class. What did I share with them? Jesus Christ. I sent tracts another time, wrote a second letter, sent my first book, now sent my second book. I have now sent over 1,000 pieces of mail, okay, to my graduating class. Does that take some time and money? Better believe it does, okay? There's not a soul in my graduating class that will ever say when Mark Cahill found this answer, Mark Cahill did not tell me. Sorry, not happening. Okay, not happening. Okay, I care enough about my friends to let them know the truth. Totally their choice what they want to do with it, but I care enough about their soul to tell them the truth, okay? Wesley, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. I care not a straw, whether they be clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of God upon earth. Okay? Wesley said, I don't care. Give me 100 people. I don't care if you're preacher folk. I don't care if you're regular folk. I don't care. Look at the Bible. It's regular people. It's fishermen. It's farmer. It's regular folk who fall in love with Jesus Christ and understand He's the only hope for this world that we have, okay? And he said, give me 100 people. We will literally turn this world upside down. We got over 1,000 people that have been here tonight plus church this morning, okay? If you 1,000 people got excited about Jesus, there is no possible way that Indianapolis could ever be the same again. Impossible, okay? But as you start walking out the doors is when trouble comes now. Okay? Because you can get all excited here, but when you walk across there, and all of a sudden Satan's going to talk you out of it. I spoke at the Citadel, and I spoke to this group at the Citadel, and they have the big parade yard, and a boy emailed me. He said, Mark, I heard your talk, but as soon as I started walking across that parade yard, all the fear came upon me, everything started coming upon me as I went back there. And he said, no. He said, I am going back there. I'm going to stand up for what I believe. He had a 3-hour conversation with another cadet when he walked back over there, okay? He said, no, I'm not letting this world stop me. You have the light that puts out darkness. You cannot keep it to yourself. We have made sharing your faith an optional part of Christianity in 2007. It is not an optional part. You are commanded by the Most High God, okay? You know what? We need to answer that command. Just because we love Him and He loved us enough to die on the cross, we need to tell people, okay? September 11th, powerful day. I never want to forget it. This is a picture of Building 2 that got hit. Plane hit 82-83, came in, fireball hits. The way the building was built, all the elevators in the middle. So when the fireball hit, which way did the fire go? Yeah, it goes up. Heat goes up. And so what happened is you're looking here at on the top 10 stories here. You're literally looking at people that are hanging out these windows. Okay, because on this Tuesday morning, at this point, they have a decision to make. And their decision is, I'm either going to stay in what? Burn or what? Jump. This is the decision they're making. Now, I found out later the picture I'm looking at is 10 seconds before the building fell to the ground. Okay? And when I began to wrestle with this a little bit personally, I began to wonder, if you have 10 seconds left in your life, what is crossing your mind? And I began to think, and I don't mean any of this to be funny, I'm very serious. I wonder if this gentleman right here is overly concerned with who he went to homecoming or prom with back in the day. I wonder if that gentleman right there is overly concerned with his high school or college GPA at this moment. Mom and dads, be careful. Don't push your kids so hard on academics that they forget we need to push them to be rock solid men and women of God on these campuses. I wonder if that man right there is thinking about his meeting with his boss on Friday. Friday's not coming. He'll be out of here today. I wonder if that man right there is thinking about how much money he's got in his bank account. Give every last nickel for one more day on planet Earth. Today is not going. That's not going to happen. He's out of here. What if that gentleman right there is thinking about 1 year earlier, a true story where all these teenagers got into the foyer of the World Trade Center and handed out thousands upon thousands of tracts to all the people that came off the trains into the World Trade Center? What if he's thinking about it? What if that gentleman right there is thinking about the coworker that witnessed to him a week earlier about Jesus Christ, if he did? One of the true stories from that day is a wife got a phone call, her husband called, "Honey, something happened in our building, bomb or something went off. I've been witnessing to coworkers. Honey, it's amazing. A couple of people have accepted Christ. I don't know what's going on, but I'll be home soon, okay? Please pray for us, okay?" Phone went dead. Well, one part of that wasn't true. What wasn't true? Yeah, he never came home. Okay, but why did it take the tragedy for us to kick it into high gear? Why did it take the word cancer to hear that word to kick us into high gear that time is short? We know time is short. Okay? The devil knows that time is short. Read Revelations, okay? What's the Bible say? "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away." Your life's like a breath. It's here 1 minute and it's gone just like that. What are you going to do with that breath, okay? But people had to make decisions. And people make choices, okay? If you know anything about that day, one of the firemen died walking in. As he walked in, someone literally landed on top of him as he walked in the building. I have a story in One Heartbeat Away. I sat next to a guy in a plane flight. His birthday was September 11th. His sister-in-law called him, "Hey, I need you to come up and get your gift, Mike." He said, "No, I don't want to come up there today." "No, no, come up and get your gift." He said, "No." I said, "All right." So he goes up there. Sister-in-law comes out of the building, walks up to him, hands him his birthday gift as the plane hits the building. Everybody on her floor is what? Dead except her. Okay. He told me he was standing there and literally someone jumped out of the building, hit a street sign, split directly in two in front of him. This guy mocked God. He was a homosexual. He mocked God. A couple times during the conversation, he had his bag on the flight. He said, "Hey, Mark, if that hell's real, it's okay. I've got my suntan lotion right here." Just mocking God during this conversation. Okay, I'll never forget Mike to the day I die. And I got a chance to talk about what it takes to be right with God, because what's your Bible say? "But truly as the Lord liveth and as your soul liveth, there's but a step between me and death." We all take that step. We're all going to take that step. But here's one more lie as we close it here for you that the world's trying to tell. They're trying to tell you this man is dead. They're trying to tell you Johnny Carson is dead. They're trying to tell you Peter James. And to the world, dead means what? Over with is what it means. That man's not dead. Peter Jennings not dead. Remember this statement, okay? Every funeral you go to, that person is not dead. They're either alive and well, or they're alive in hell, one of the two. That's it. They're either alive and well, or they're alive in hell, one of the two. That's it. Questions where, okay? Last thing, remember Pat Tillman, the soldier, the St. Louis Cardinals football player? But he left the NFL, joined the Army Rangers, and was killed by a friendly fire over in Afghanistan. This came from his USA Today. This came from his memorial service in Oakland, California. I'm not saying this to denigrate a soldier. I would never do that. I actually used it at West Point, and the kids at West Point already knew what I was going to say because they had already read it. At his service, Senator John McCain spoke at his service and said of Pat Tillman, quote, "A welcome lesson in the true meaning of courage and honor. Few of us will ever live a better life." Okay, that's what was said by a senator. Pat Tillman's younger brother also spoke at his memorial service. Okay, who do you think knows you better, a senator you probably never met or your little brother? Which one? Yeah, I'm betting on little bro. Okay, let's see what little brother said. Quote, this was said at his memorial service. Quote, "It was amazing to be his baby brother," he said, voice shaking. "He was a champion, and Pat was not religious, so he's not with God. He's just expletive dead." That's what he said. And it was the F word. "He's just effing dead," is what he said at his brother's thing. No, he's not. Pat Tillman's alive. Pat Tillman is very much alive. Okay. My grandmother that died last year is alive. My aunt is alive. My students that have died on me are alive. Okay. The question is, are they alive and well, or are they alive in hell? One, you got to know where you're going. And two, who you bringing with you. Okay. Every second, two people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, 150,000 people walking off into eternity, heaven or hell as we speak, okay? Simple question for you, all right? Do you care? Much tougher question, though. Do you care enough to do something about that? Okay? I'm going to ask those questions one more time. And if you feel comfortable, I want you to verbally respond to God. Okay, verbally respond. But you're not verbally responding to me. You're not verbally responding to the person next to you. Who are you responding to? God. Okay? And if any of us in this room can ever get that figured out, we've got a one-on-one meeting with God coming up. Any of us in this room live our life just a little bit different? Okay? I'm telling you, I've got to get much more focused in the coming days because time is running short and people I need to chat with, their time's running out too. Okay? And I must get focused on what's going to matter on Judgment Day. Okay? That's who you respond to. Okay? Every second, two people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, 150,000 people walking off into eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. Simple question for you. And if you feel comfortable, I want you to verbally respond to God. Simple question, all right? Do you care? Yes. Okay. Tougher question. If you feel comfortable, I want you to respond to God. Okay. Simple question. Do you care enough to do something about it? Yes. You know, real typical most places go a little louder on the first, a little quieter on the second. Okay. Not much difference this time. Okay. But isn't that the difference? The difference is, okay, will I step out and do something about that? Okay. I do a lot of speaking. I do it for a living and stuff like that. You can tell when something happens. Something happened today. Okay, something happened in some of your life. You can see it on your countenance. Some of you will never be the same again. Okay? I write this to a guy that I said, remember, Satan hates soul winners. Make sure he dislikes you all the days of your life. Okay? Remember this, folks. If you decide to become a soul winner and plant seeds, persecution's coming. Persecution's coming. Okay? But you know what? I want to live a life he wants to take out. I want a church to live a life he wants to wipe off the face of the earth because this church causes me trouble. Okay, that's the type of life, because that's the type of one that we well rewarded in heaven one day. Make sure your life is so well lived for Christ. This world is not worthy of you. This world is not worthy for you having to walk on this place. You're just like Enoch, walk so close to God. God said, give me that one. You walk so close to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, okay? He just wants you soon. He wanted Rachel Scott soon. She loved him so much, okay? But listen to me. Live a life like that, okay? All right? You'll never regret it on the day you die. Time is very precious, okay? Use it very, very wise in the days to come. Father, we thank you so much for just a great chance to be here. Father, I thank you so much for putting this on my schedule. Father God, I thank you for all the people you've drawn in from the different churches and from Cincinnati and beyond. I thank you so much for that, Father God. Learned a lot, spoken a lot today. We know what your word says. Now the question comes, will we obey? Father, I ask you, to your Holy Spirit, to be so strong on these people. Acts 4:31, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with boldness. Father, give us those bold lips, those bold hearts that we see souls walking through, Father God. Radical obedience in the days to come, Father God. Walking into more lives than we can count to plant seeds, water seeds, and watch you, the great God of the universe, give the increase. Father, take our last breath and get out of this place and go to our retirement home before that throne of God when it's all said and done. And Father, we ask this in that very sweet, special name, the great name that Satan's trying to turn into a dirty, filthy curse word. It is that sweet, beautiful name of Jesus. That wonderful name of Jesus. And Father, we ask this prayer in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All
right, thank you, Mark. Thank you so much.
I will take a seat if you don't have a seat for me. Down there.
Just let me finish in 60 seconds. We want to be evangelists individually, but we want to do this as a church. It's going to be a lot easier. As you leave tonight, there's a packet for each family that you have. It contains evangelist opportunities through College Park Church Ministries, evangelism training opportunities that are starting as early as next week, gospel tracts, websites, and a book list for you. Now here's what we want to challenge you to do this week. Everybody in this room and the other rooms, go out and make a conversation, what you've learned today with somebody about Jesus Christ. We're going to have a website or a link that you can have. It's engagethecultureatyourchurch.com. And we're going to put all of our opportunities on that so we can see how easy it is if we each take one opportunity. There's 1,000 people that have heard the message this week, and we'll take courage by looking at each other as we do this.
Tell your stories. Tell your stories in your Sunday school classes. Jesus sent them out 2 by 2, and they came back and told the reports of what they had seen the Lord do. Those stories encourage you, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Any of my books left on those tables, my free gift to you. Take those books, plant them
in people's lives.
Books are
gone. But there are two buckets.
I'm a pretty generous guy, aren't I?
There are two buckets.
Take the tables. You can have the tables as you walk up.
There are two buckets, one at each table. If you want to give a blessing back to Mark, I saw him at lunch today. He gave $160 away to waiters from the book money that he had. So if you want to bless him so he can do more of that, put those in the buckets. But check out that. Share Christ this week. Go to that link and put your story in, and we'll share our stories just like Jesus' followers did. God bless you. Thanks for coming.